This is Wade Into the Water, Learn to Live Again, a Star Wars Rogue One fanfic, written by Teelan and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated G and contains the pairing Cassian Andor, Jyn Erso, with additional tags for love, public displays of affection, tactile, post-movie Everyone Lives. Author's notes. I seem to be getting all my Rogue One inspiration from the kink meme. Prompt. Jyn Cassian. Cassian has zero PDA chill. I'm supposed to be finishing MCU fic and prepping for the Half a Moon Challenge 2017. Damn it! Nothing about the coolly focused captain of the Rebellion Intelligence she initially met prepared Jyn Erso for Cassian Andor. On second thought, perhaps the intensity should have been a flag. Jyn is accustomed to lovers who take what they want, usually checking that she's satisfied after the fact. One who checks her every step of the way is new and thrilling. Maybe a little daunting, too, biting her lips as his hands skim her sides and his eyes skim her face, and he leans in to coax her into a kiss. After Scarif, after the Death Star, after the move to Hoth and months of scrappy and slow healing that's still ongoing, their first time together sexually is, for want of a better word, intense. But very, very satisfying. However, it's not the sex that floors Jyn that first night. It's the bit that comes after sex. It's the leg he eases between hers as they drift off, turning a sleeping snuggle into a sensual tangle of limbs. It's the body that fits itself up against her in the sleepy dark of the night, human warmth in the biting cold of Echo Base. It's the hand that splays on Jyn's belly when she shifts in the sheets, long fingers pressing firm and sure beneath the hem of her undershirt. Even in the morning, when waking murmurs turn to breathy moans, he tugs off her shirt, then his, replacing the weave of fabric with a slide of skin, the brush of clothed limbs with a press of bare flesh, and the last murmurs of sleep with the breathless laughter of love. Afterwards, curled together, Cassian's hand traces a circle down the line of Jyn's shoulder blade and into her spine before sliding down to measure the curves of her hip bones with his fingertips. She's not used to sleeping with someone so tactile. General Draven of Rebellion Intelligence looks at her like she's something he wishes he could scrape off his boot. It's too bad for him that Jyn has a significant knowledge of Imperial-controlled industrial worlds that produce goods the Rebellion needs quite urgently now that Alderaan is so much space dust. Right now, she's surveying the projected blueprints and factory schedules from an R2 unit. The main warehouse had motion sensors on the fences, but nothing on the roof. At least, they didn't 2 years ago. You got that far but didn't hit it? The note of scorn is nothing new. Draven's dislike is catching among his officers. The intel I gathered would be better used by a group looking to disrupt operations or steal supplies, rather than a single operative. She meets the man's eyes squarely. And you should be glad I didn't hit it then. And how do we know you haven't already sold the information to someone else? Cassian frowns a little at the woman speaking. The factory is still standing, Taylor, and your intel indicated there's been no interruption to the output for the last 3 years. He turns, his body angling close to hers, his hand resting on Jyn's shoulder as he points at one of the schedules on display. That's the shipment the Rebellion needs. Processed Durasteel. Preferably once they've gotten it off-planet, but before they make the hyperspace jump. It's ridiculous to feel hot just because he's touching her, yet heat rises in her cheeks and warms her chest. She's not used to such casual, comfortable contact. Rebellion Intelligence may not like Jyn particularly much, But among the starfighter pilots, she and the rest of Rogue One are considered heroes. Baze says it's the difference between the virtue of caution and the virtue of risk.
Successful spies value caution. Successful pilots value calculated risk. You think like a pilot, not a spy.
Seducing Cassian didn't help, Shura adds cheerfully.
Baze sighs.
Whatever the difference, the pilots like Jin enough to sit with her in the lounge and involve her in their conversations and flirt with her like she's one of them. Which is how Cassian finds her matching wits with Wes Jensen and Kessinomis over a glass of Loman ale in the rec lounge. When he steps in, nudging at her near leg, Jin shifts over to make room for him beside her on the lounge, but doesn't stop her argument with Kessin over the value of Coruscant. The Coruscant-born pilot is protesting Jin's definition of the capital planet of the Old Republic as a parasite that sucks life out of the galaxy. It's Kessin's blink that first makes her realize Cassian's knee is resting lightly against hers as he relaxes into the cushions of the couch, that he's co-opted her glass of Loman ale and is taking a swig, and his hand has slid up under the hem of her shirt to splay in the small of her back. Within 5 minutes, Wes and Kessin have recalled a meeting with Tycho Chelchu and fled. Jin turns to glare at Cassian. He gives her a look as bland as any she's seen Shurut give Baze. Jin gathers that Cassian and the newly arrived intelligence officer have a history from the frank and narrow looks Tiana Meissen gives her all through the morning meal. It doesn't help that when Cassian leaves, he leans in to remind her that they're lunching with the rest of Rogue One, and his hand cups her nape while his thumb skims down the side of her throat like a kiss. "Yes," Jin says into the silence after his departure. "We're together."
That would seem to be the obvious conclusion.
Tiana seems more amused than jealous.
Given that I've never seen Cassian this handsy, or this relaxed. He was always a little distant, never really tactile, even with his friends. His friends are his friends. Until now, one's been a subset of the other. So, both.
The willowy blonde grins.
But I'm glad he's happy.
Tiana seems sincere, at least.
He is happy, Bodhi says, when Jin brings it up as they're working on one of the transports. I don't think... he hasn't been happy much. I don't... none of us have. But Cassian reaches for the proof, the physicality of his happiness.
Jin thinks of the early morning, and Cassian's hands tangling in her hair as she nipped her way down his body.
She supposes physicality is one way to describe it.
Are you happy? Bodhi peers at her.
Gillen loved you. A lot. He hoped you were alive, although he didn't know. I couldn't tell him. He loved you and hoped you were happy. I think you are, but...
Yes. Jin watches Bodhi relax. Yes, I'm happy too. When Cassian comes to bed, Jin is waiting for him. And rather than waiting for him to curl up against her, she settles herself against his side, her head against his shoulder, her hand sliding beneath his undershirt to rest over his breastbone. His stomach flexes under her arm.
What's this?
Nothing. But what he feels like? Bone and sinew, strength and endurance, quiet darkness and possessive tactility? Is love. The end. Author's notes. Wes Jensen and Tycho Chelchu will be familiar to readers of the Star Wars EU Rogue Squadron and Wraith Squadron book series. I highly recommend both, but particularly Wraith Squadron. And I found Kessinomis on Wikipedia. Tiana Meissen is an OC, but I imagine she's Tarn Meissen's sister. And an old friend-slash-flame of Cassian's. Reader's Notes. This podfic was recorded for Growlery as part of ITPE 2017
And, yay, we're finally in a fandom together again, except not really, because I am not as invested in Rogue One as I am in literally the entire rest of the Star Wars universe, but it's been such a long time since we've shared a fandom, and I was so excited to be able to give you this for ITPE, because now we're in, like, that same lightsabers and force-wielding universe together again. So I hope you enjoy this. I hope everyone else had a good time listening to it, too. Thank you for listening, and have a nice day!